From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. For the last 3 years, the United States has been under a national emergency to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. On Monday, President Biden signed a bipartisan congressional resolution to bring that to a close, just weeks before it was set to expire alongside a separate public health emergency. So what does this mean moving forward? Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, is joining us today to talk more about this. And remember, if you have a public health question, send us an email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
So let's talk about ending this emergency. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so we've known this was coming. There certainly was a lot of pressure to bring this to an end. Congress was certainly threatening to do what they just did, which was to force the president's hand. And so this was no surprise. Now, there are actually a number of declarations that are in effect. So ending the national emergency, which is what happened 2 days ago, isn't as big a deal. What is going to be the big deal is ending the so-called public health emergency, which is still expected to occur on May 11th. And that's the one that has repercussions that people will actually feel. And that's because several things happen when that public health emergency ends. One is that the free stuff that we've been getting from the government, vaccines, tests, masks, the monoclonals, you know, the Paxlovid, the molnupiravir, all those things, those no longer are free for the most part. And those will be handled by whatever your insurance coverage is. People who are on Medicare, and especially if they have Part B coverage, they'll still have access to most all of this without cost. They won't have the at-home tests. They won't have the free masks, those kind of things. But they will still have most of these services without an out-of-pocket expense. If you're on a health plan that is covered by the Affordable Care Act, which most of them are, but there are some that are not, then your testing, the COVID testing and the vaccines, those will still be covered at no cost to you. But the other things, so at-home tests, they're maybe no coverage, or it is certainly if a plan wants to offer some kind of coverage, they can, but very likely would come with some cost sharing. For those that are uninsured, of course, they're going to have to pay for the whole thing for themselves. And we've already talked on shows before, Jim, about the fact that just the COVID vaccines, which have been free, for those that have to pay the full price, in other words, don't have insurance coverage, we're hearing from Moderna and Pfizer that prices are going to be in the neighborhood of $130 a shot. So that's not going to be insignificant.
So, Dr. Pate, some news coming out today that one of our major health systems, St. Luke's, is going from mask mandatory to masking optional in some of their locations. And I do want to read a statement from a St. Luke's representative. It says, quote, "This has been a very thoughtfully considered decision to modify our masking policy. It involved careful consideration and review of the latest data on COVID-19 and other respiratory virus transmission in our communities. St. Luke's has made adjustments to its masking policy throughout the pandemic. For instance, when we removed universal masking in some non-patient-facing areas, but in our patient-facing areas, patients will still see masks in some settings as part of routine infection prevention standards, such as operating rooms. Masks have been and continue to be an effective tool for preventing the spread of infections by respiratory route. In addition to the use in specific situations and locations, masks will remain optional and made readily available for patients and visitors, staff, and providers in all locations across the health system, unquote. So, Dr. Pate, I'm curious about your thoughts on this. I mean, here we are no longer under a national emergency. Many people, you know, say let's move on. But how do you view, you know, a major health system deciding to make this decision?
Yeah, well, you know, I have to express some surprise. I think everybody knows I love St. Luke's and I love the people there, and I have tremendous respect for them. But I'm frankly at a loss to explain this. Now, I'm reassured by the statement that you read that there was a lot of thought put into this and that they considered evidence. You know, certainly I've looked at evidence that I have and I don't see it, but maybe they have different evidence. I think it would be really wonderful if they would share their analysis in some detail to give those of us that don't know what went into this decision and who are still concerned about getting infected. For myself, I've yet to be infected, and that's because I work hard at that, as well as probably some luck. But I've kept my wife safe. I've kept others safe by following my advice. And I have a 86-year-old mother that every time she has to go to the hospital, we talk and make plans how to keep her safe. And then I count on her being safe in the hospital. I have another family member with a severe immune compromised situation. We take a lot of precautions. And so I think what is different about a hospital is, guess who goes to hospitals? Pregnant women, young children, people who have multiple medical problems, people who are immunocompromised, people that are undergoing cancer treatment, and old people like me and many others. And guess what? We're all high risk. And so, you know, hospitals today don't have a whole lot of healthy 30 and 40 year olds laying around in their beds. And so I think that's the difference. And I certainly don't think we have to mask forever. I think that one of the exciting things is that we just got a $5 billion launch of a new initiative like Operation Warp Speed to develop more effective vaccines. If we developed a whole brand new vaccine in less than a year, which was unheard of back in 2020, think what we could do now, but yet we're jumping the gun. We also have a new variant that is now, and I saw it just got picked up in the Boise city water testing that we haven't had in the United States, but it's over in India and it's causing big problems, including spread in their hospital. And so, you know, what's concerning to me is if you look at, okay, well, what in general, and as you know, Gemma, I don't like to focus just on mortality. There's so much more to this virus than whether it kills you or not. But that this is an easy concept for people to see. If you take 100 people and they get COVID sometime over this past pandemic, what would their fatality rate be? It would be 1%, which would mean out of those 100 people that are diagnosed with COVID, you'd expect one to die. Now, what is it in hospitals? In other words, if you get admitted to the hospital and you don't have COVID, so you go in because you've got your COPD or you're having a baby or you're whatever it is, you go in, you don't have COVID, but you get COVID in the hospital from a patient or the staff. What's the mortality rate then? Well, it varies, but if you take that same 100 base population, reports would tell you instead of one, it is 10 to 30. So, well, you'd say, well, why would that be? And you go back to what I just said about who's in the hospital. We are concentrating a whole bunch of really at-risk people in a hospital. That's why it's different than just what happens out in the community. So I am very surprised. I think if you look at our transmission rates, because this statement mentioned that they've looked at the transmission, they think it's all good. Well, what I see is almost every county in the St. Luke service area is at substantial transmission. Now, also remember, Gemma, that's with the lack of testing. We don't even know all the cases because most of them are not getting reported. But even the ones getting reported, it is almost every county is in substantial, which is the next to the highest level of transmission. So I don't get it. And I had no idea. I actually found this out from you. So, you know, obviously St. Luke's didn't ask for my opinion, and that's fine. They have plenty of smart people there, and they don't need to ask me about anything. But I was quite shocked, and it would be very much relieving me. I know I have to take a family member with cancer to the St. Luke's Cancer Institute next week, and I'm already thinking, wow, maybe we should skip that appointment. Because I've been over there many times, and I can't imagine seeing all those people in that waiting room that are undergoing cancer treatment who are very vulnerable, and imagining a scenario where only those frightened people are wearing masks. It's a terrifying thought to me, but I'm sure they know what they're doing. I love St. Luke's. I have a lot of confidence in them. I don't understand this, but I'm sure they've got a good reason.
Well, and we should note that masks will continue to be required in long-term care settings affiliated with St. Luke's for both patients and providers. They also say,
I wanted to make one quick point.
Because they do talk about their cancer institute. You just mentioned you're taking a family member there next week.
Yeah.
It will be optional except for the 4 South and pediatric oncology inpatient setting in Boise, and then for their blood and marrow transplant clinic, where it will continue to be required for patient, staff, and providers. So it's not everywhere, but it is optional in the majority of settings.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is just, you know, one of the things that I look at in these various policies that hospitals from around the country come up with. And, you know, this started back with patient visitation and all. And, you know, we're figuring this out on the fly. Nobody knew the right answers. But what I look for is internal consistency. So, you know, let's take what is your objective? And then let me look at it to see whether it's right or wrong. Is it internally consistent? So, you know, one has to wonder, well, what's the justification for requiring masks in the long-term facility then of everybody, but you wouldn't in some of the other areas where you'd have patients that are probably just as high at risk. Again, it's just hard if they don't come forward with their kind of analysis and give us enough information to help us understand. It's always, when people are afraid, it's always easier if you can just explain your reasoning. They don't have to agree with you, but it just helps if people can see your logic and understand there is logic to it, that it is, in fact, as well thought out as they're saying it is, then it would be great to see that because it would probably give a lot of us some peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. And before I let you go, Dr. Pate, we do have a question from Greg, and it is pertaining to this exactly. It came in this morning. And he says, I'm curious, St. Luke's has suspended mask requirements at most facilities. He says, I understand COVID infections are trending down, but positivity rates continue to be above 5%. My understanding is anything above 5% indicates community spread. So how should I interpret this decision? And should I still be careful in indoor settings where people are present and unmasked? So, you know, should I continue to wear a mask?
Absolutely. I think... please don't take this action on the part of St. Luke's as some kind of endorsement that you now can throw caution to the wind in all other aspects of your life that, you know, don't read into this that, oh, okay, well, obviously everything's fine. There's no risk. you are exactly right. The last percent positivity we had, but of course, we're not getting good reporting in the last reportings from the beginning of the month, was a 7.4%. That shows accelerated community spread. And as I said, in all the areas around here, we are in substantial spread, and that's underestimating it. So yes, you need to continue to be cautious. And, you know, please don't think that things are over because the national emergency is over, because St. Louis has made a change. We still have the pandemic. Things are still the same today as they were 2 days ago. And until we can understand the logic of this change and see that there's something that I don't know about, which is very possible, then I think we still need to be taking precaution. As I said, we got a new variant that's just come in the United States. If we look to other countries, it's not looking good.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, just anecdotally, Dr. Pate, I've seen more people getting COVID recently than I have in quite a while. And I do wonder if it is this new variant.
Yeah, it is. I've talked to some other people and they said, I know more people with COVID now than ever. And I tell you what's heartbreaking. I mentioned that I haven't gotten COVID yet. I know I could get it any day. But I talked to a dear friend of mine who is a world-recognized authority in this area. He hadn't gotten it. He finally got it. And he was just so in much despair that despite all of his efforts. And I had to remind him, it wasn't his efforts that failed him. It's the lack of everybody else around us being willing to try to help make safe environments.
Yeah. Well, as always, Dr. Pate, really appreciate you coming in today and talking with us and clarifying things. So appreciate your perspective.
Thanks, Jim.
We've been speaking with Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Remember, if you have a question about public health, please send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.